for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. This is the 2009 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Saturday evening, November the 28th, 2009. Carla Batard is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Spirit of Death.
We are so thankful that you gave yourself for us, that you loved us enough to shed your blood. We thank you for saving us, Lord, for setting us free, and Lord, for making it possible for us to receive even more and more and more and more, that it never ends. We just thank you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have had this message ready for over a year, and it's never been the right time, but the Lord said it's time. Tonight we're going to talk about the spirit of death. Hear lots of teachings on deliverance, and we hear lots of spirits, but I've never, not never heard, but very few messages on actually the spirit of death. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, I have quite a few scriptures to share with you on this subject. Because really, the spirit of death has been working basically unhindered, because we don't challenge it often enough. And it is a very strong spirit. I believe it is the ruler spirit over almost all the other spirits, because that is the ultimate goal of the enemy, is to kill us. And so in Genesis chapter 2, at verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now go to verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now we know that Adam and Eve did not drop dead whenever they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They did not drop dead. But it is written that they will surely die if they eat of that tree. Now, the word "die" in the Strong's Concordance, it means worthy of death. They became worthy of death for their disobedience. And Webster says of the word "die," it means to stop living or subside gradually. Subside gradually. So if we are formed in the image of God and after His likeness, and God is eternal, then we were actually created to be eternal beings. But that act caused us to lose our eternity that He gave us at the beginning. So man was intended to be an eternal being. There was a life force. When he breathed that breath of life into man, he received a life force. And it took a very long time, even for death, to kill man. In Genesis chapter 5, it is written, and this is something that a lot of people stumble over. in Genesis chapter 5, Adam, it says, lived 930 years. Well, maybe the days weren't like our days. Maybe the years weren't measured like our years. Yes, they were. He put into force day and night. And it's the same as it is today. Seth lived to be 912. Enosh, 905. Kenan, 910. Mahalalel, 895. Jared, 962. Enoch, 365. Methuselah, 969. Lamech, 777 years. That's a long time. And in chapter 6, verse 3, and there's a lot I could say in between those scriptures, but that's not what I'm talking about tonight. It says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years old. After that time, sir, never been changed. 120 years. It occurred to me when I was thinking about this that that is why Moses, at the age of 120, was commanded to go up the mountain to die. His time was up. He could have lived on, but the time limit was given. So when he turned 120, his time was up. He wasn't sick. In fact, it says of Moses that his strength, let me see where I have that. Oh, let's see, I'm already off my notes. Yes, his strength was not abated, nor his eye dim. That means he still had the same strength that he had when he was a young man, and his eye was not dim. So this spirit of death entered mankind. Death is present the day we are conceived. Everyone, death entered. The spirit of death is still working. That subsiding gradually is what causes us to age. That came with death, subsiding gradually. It's what causes us to begin to lose our memory, lose the cells in our mind. It's what causes our teeth to decay. It's what causes our bones to get brittle. It is a subsiding gradually. It's what causes old age. It's what causes our hair to turn gray because the follicle dies and the color goes out of it. It's what causes us to lose our good sight. It's at work every day of our life. But we're going to see something later. So we want to look at and deal with the spirit of death. Romans chapter 5, turn there please. Romans chapter 5. This is where it is stated. Verse 12. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So we see that death entered in because of Adam. It entered in through Adam, and now it is on all men by sin. Sin and death work hand in hand. Romans 8, verse 2. 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now there's three laws mentioned here. There is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's a law. The Spirit of life. There is a law of sin. And it says sin and death. The law of sin and death. So that means there is a law of sin and a law of death that came into us in the garden. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and the law of death. Okay, look at, it's like a law, okay, let me tell you, a law is something prescribed. It's a principle, a regulation, a rule of action laid down and enforced. That's what a law is. It's like the physical law of gravity. It's a law. You've never dropped anything and it went up, unless you were on the moon or in space. But that is a law that is in effect on this earth of gravity. Spiritually, we have the law of sin and the law of death. Hebrews 2, turn there. Hebrews 2, verse 9. Hebrews 2, 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Jesus tasted death for all of us. Okay, look at verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death." And then he tells us who that is the devil. "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So there is a lot wrapped up in this law of death. Okay? It says that fear of death holds us in bondage all our lifetime. It's what causes us to fear any time we find something a little strange on our bodies, because the ultimate fear is of death. And we are held in bondage. Now look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." He has abolished death. Death has been abolished. So one of the questions I asked, well, if death has been abolished, then why do we want to die? Not dead, buried in the ground die, but this gradually subsiding thing that was put into motion in the garden. He has abolished death. That was a life-changing thing to me about 5 years ago. I began to deal with the spirit of death in my life. Not only just praying over myself, but I bind and break the spirit of death in my life. That spirit that is trying to make me die, make me become lifeless, make me become old, make me become slow of mind, slow of body. Mike and I don't even use the word old in our house. Because, and we're going to get there in a minute, you're going to get what you say. Your words are very powerful. He has abolished death. It says that the word abolished means to do away with wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Wholly. To put an end to. Strong says bring to naught and to make void. That's what Jesus Christ has done. See, we come to the cross and we receive salvation, but there is so much more to what he did. He abolished death. He tasted death for me and you. and for everyone. Is it automatic? No. It's kind of like God gave me this illustration one time. It's like, because, you know, you talk to people and they say, yeah, but I'm a Christian. Well, I say, well, what does that mean to you exactly? What does that mean to you? Well, I'm saved. Well, what does that mean to you? Well, Jesus Christ died for my sins. Well, what else did he do? Well, he prepared a place for me in eternity. Well, what else did he do? There's a long list of things that Jesus Christ has done for us, but we have stopped short. And I'm ready to have it all. And so I thought about this illustration. It's kind of like having a fire extinguisher in your house. And you're frying something on the stove, and you have a grease fire. And someone says, oh, you have a fire, you better go get your fire extinguisher. Or, you have a fire on your stove. Well, that's okay. I've got a fire extinguisher. So the fire is getting bigger and bigger. Now it's catching onto the wall, and now your wall is on fire. Well, now your wall is on fire. That's all right. I've got a fire extinguisher. I tell you what, if you don't pick up that fire extinguisher and apply it to the fire, your house is going to burn down. And that's how it is with us in our bodies. Death is the ruler spirit over all infirmity. The ruler spirit. And, you know, for a long time, when someone would want prayer, I would address the infirmity. You know, we come against the infirmity. But now, I go after death. Because death is the ruler over all infirmity. Its ultimate goal is to gradually subside you till you die. That's what death, die, means. And so, now some would say, well, yeah, but it's only spiritual. When he did that, it was just a spiritual thing. Okay, I want you to look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I was praying for someone one day, and this scripture came out of my mouth, and I didn't even know that I knew it. I had to look it up. Is that a scripture? I better find that. But I prayed for the person. But see, this is what is so important about being in your Word. When you read it, it's like a computer. Your eye is recording every single thing. You may not remember it, but the Word says that the Holy Spirit will bring it to you as you need it. And so I heard come out of my mouth, but I was praying for a woman who had brain cancer. But if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Your mortal body is what is going to die. Your mortal body is what is going to die. But this says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, does Jesus dwell in you? If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's in you. If he's in you, his Spirit, the Spirit of God, is in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, and that word means commence, begin, start, active growth and development. So, if there is anything in your body that has been gradually subsiding because the spirit of death has never been, you haven't picked up your fire extinguisher and applied it to the spirit of death, then death is working in you. You're gradually subsiding. So if that spirit is in you, it says it will quicken, it will commence, it will begin active growth and development. And so when I pray for someone who has had a sickness that is deteriorating, I always speak a quickening to whatever has been affected by the sickness and speak a reversal of damage, which is another thing that came out of my mouth one day when I was praying for someone who had bitten by a brown recluse spider on her leg. And she had a place about as big as a 50-cent piece. It was very interesting. She was getting a divorce from her husband. There was a 10-day span of time that she would not have health insurance coverage. And wouldn't you know, she got bit in those 10 days. And she was, on my mind. I said, okay, Lord, I'm calling her. So I called her. And she tells me the story about being bitten in these 10 days. And it's going to take all my savings because there's already a spot as big as a 50-cent piece that is black, the skin is dead, the cells are dead. They've already scheduled me for surgery because they already know it's going to take this long before the damage stops. And if they did it now, there would still be damage. So all this, was going on. This person was very responsible. She had everything covered. Health insurance, she had the works. But she was bitten in those 10 days that she did not have health insurance. And I told her, I don't think it's a coincidence that you were bitten in those 10 days. Because you are a daughter of the Most High God, and He is able. That health insurance would only pay for the hole they're going to cut in your leg. But God can heal you. So I prayed for her. And I prayed a neutralization to that venom that came out of that spider. I prayed a reversal of the damage for her leg to return to the state that it was when she came out of her mother's womb. And do you know that in the day that she was supposed to have her surgery, now here's me, I'm talking to my mother who had talked to her, and I said, well, how did her surgery go? How did her surgery go? Well, she didn't have to have it. What? So I was very excited by that. I prayed for her. I prayed the prayer of faith. But, later I'm asking how her surgery went. But do you know that her leg totally healed? She did not have to have the surgery. The skin went back to pink. You could not even tell where the bite had happened. Her doctor was amazed because he, and this was what her concern was, the doctor had been bitten by a brown wrinkly spider on his thigh, and he had a softball size hole where they had dug out all the damage. And so he was just amazed that it healed. That's what God can do. He is the healer. He can do the impossible. I've learned to pray the impossible because He is a God of impossibilities. He can do what no one else can do. Okay. Look at Galatians 3:13. Galatians. We've already read some of these this weekend. And they're overlapping, but that's okay. We need to hear them. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, we saw earlier that we're talking about a law of sin and a law of death. And I believe these are included in this scripture. We have been redeemed. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And that word redeemed means to buy up, rescue, and ransom. That's what He did. He bought up, He ransomed us. Like we're being held captive by the spirit of death, and He paid the ransom. He abolished death. Look at Genesis 3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That's important because he's referred to as the devourer. The devil is. And we are made of dust. And dust he will eat all the days of his life. So he's wanting to eat us. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Does that sound like a blessing? No. That was a curse that was pronounced on the woman. that in sorrow, greatly multiplied sorrow, she will conceive. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That was the curse on the woman. When I realized that Jesus became a curse for me, I remembered this curse. I was about 6 months pregnant at the time. I remembered the curse put on the woman. I remembered that he became a curse. Well, if he became a curse, then that means the curse is no longer mine. Hallelujah. Well, I had three babies with no pain. I'm telling you, there's power in this. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. See? Cursed is the ground. In the garden, the ground was not cursed. Everything came up. All he had to do was dress it and keep it. Eat from every tree. No, now the ground is cursed. And in the sweat of thy brow, thou shalt eat bread. You're going to have to work hard now for your food. That was a curse. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Yes, we will return to the ground. When we die, when our bodies, when this flesh gives out and we are placed in the ground, we will return to dust. But that curse Jesus also redeemed us from. What does that mean? We're not going to talk about that tonight. But that is good news. The curse that was placed on us has been, we've been redeemed from that curse. Jesus became the curse for us. So, I'm not sure we've really understood all of what that means for us. Now, some people, and know that this is not, God didn't just decide to curse the serpent and curse the woman and curse the man and curse the ground. Their disobedience brought that. And when we fall under curses, when things begin to go wrong and things happen to us as a result of our disobedience, that's a law too. It's a law. When you disobey, curses are released. We bring them on ourselves. It's not God's fault that we were rebellious. It's our fault. But we don't have to stay there. Okay, so we see that our mortal bodies, that which was subject to death, our flesh and blood bodies. So how old are you today? There's many different ages in this room. But death has been at work since you were conceived, and it's worked basically unhindered. I mean, we can, you know, the wrinkles in our skin, all these things. We see the results of death working. Okay. He's talking about our flesh and blood bodies, our arms, our legs, our eyes, our hearts, our bones, every single thing in our bodies. This is where I said Moses was 120. That's in Deuteronomy 34:7, if you want to look that up, where Moses was told by God, go up to the top of the mountain, and there you shall die. His days were up. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Our youth is renewed. Our youth is renewed. We have the ability to have our youth renewed. I take that seriously. When I'm cleaning my face, I say, Lord, I thank you that you're renewing my youth as the eagle. Is it about wrinkles? No. I mean, I'm not even going to say that. I was going to say, grow old gracefully. What I mean by that is that the world is looking for that proverbial fountain of youth. And we have it. We have the fountain of youth. We're going to look at that in a minute. Youth, the word youth means infancy to adolescence. Those years, our youth is renewed. That means made like new. Now that's the word. It's made like new, like the eagles. Look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now listen to the way that's worded. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. The Lord doesn't renew it. We have to pick up that fire extinguisher and use it. We have life. We have eternal life in us. And death has been at work, but Jesus Christ has abolished death. He tasted death for all of us so that we have life, abundant life. It says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. That means exhausted and tired. They shall walk and not faint. Faint means to be weary and tired. So that we can use this on our feet and our legs and our stamina. These are scriptures that we can use to activate that life that He has given us and to counteract death that wants to work in us. Look at Proverbs 14:27. I'm just tired of death having its way, you know. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. There it is. There is that fountain of youth. The fountain of life comes from having the fear of the Lord, the love of the Lord, obeying the Lord, reverence and honor for the Lord. It says, is a fountain of life. And the world is Botoxing and liposucking and facelifting and enhancing and stretching and tightening. And why don't we just have a reverent honor and fear of the Lord and have that life force, a fountain. A fountain is a reservoir containing a liquid that can be drawn off as needed, a wellspring, a source. That's that fountain of youth that everybody's looking for. It's not about looking young. It's about having life. Life. And ending that gradual subsiding. Being full of vitality. Life means fresh, strong, lively, springing alive, and merry. Life. That's what we want. That's what He's given us. That was part of why He died for us, so that we could have life and have life abundantly. Proverbs 3:1-8. We read these today also. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For what? Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Navel, in the Strong's Concordance, means center of strength. Health to the center of strength. and marrow to thy bones. And bones is the body, the substance. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. I went all the way to 10, but that's okay. So we see there that we will have length of days, long life, and peace, favor with God and man, good understanding, departing from evil. It is the cure. It's what will make us whole. Give us health to the center of strength and marrow. Marrow means moisture and refreshment. Restoration by a renewing supply. That's what marrow means. To the bones, the body, and the substance. Proverbs 15:30. Flip over there. 15:30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The word fat means, listen to this, anointed, rich, and fertile. That's a good thing. So if you can, okay, avoid bad reports. Mike will not even watch the news anymore. It is just this murder, that murder, this person was stabbed, that person was shot. That's what we hear on the news. It's all bad. It's all depressing. It's going to go on whether we listen to it or not. It instills fear. It is just propagating fear. So avoid the bad reports if you must. Philippians 4 says the same thing. Paul instructs in Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. That's a lot. Through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Keep your mind off of bad reports. The light of the eyes. Stay away from the darkness. The bad reports. Now, sometimes we do this to our own selves. We pronounce bad reports on ourselves. They become word-spoken curses. I just cannot remember anything anymore. I can't remember. My eyes are getting so bad. These are things. I sprained a finger one time, and this lady said, well, you'll have arthritis in that joint. I said, I will not have arthritis. You will not put arthritis on me. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. People who get older, one day this person brought something to Mike and me. They had gone to Walmart, and they brought us a treat. Well, in the bottom of the bag was a thing of Preparation H. And I said, did you mean for us to have this? Oh, no, y'all don't need that, but someday you will. I said, I will not. I will not need that. My plumbing works fine. It will continue to work fine. You will not curse me with constipation and hemorrhoids. But really, now when people say things like that to you, you don't have to say it to their face, but I mean, as soon as you turn your back, you better rebuke that thing. Because if you don't, you come into an agreement with it. And then it's the same way with arthritis. All you have to do is turn on the television and watch an hour's worth of commercials and see the things that the world is wanting to project onto you. Arthritis, female problems, cancer, bad nerves, depression, shyness. There's a pill for everything these days. And the side effects. Yeah, they'll give, if you have like fungus in your toenails or something, and we heard Tom talk about that today, but they have a medication And then as soon as they finish, they go, and they're saying all of these side effects, you know. If you have blood in your urine and, you know, all this stuff happening, I told Mike, I said, let's take that. The side effects are worse than the affliction. But it is. It's true. It's true. Okay. In the natural, for the unsaved, it's true. They don't have, you know, it says without God and without hope in the world. You're without God and you're without hope. All you have is what the world can give to you. And believe me, you don't want it. But we are not natural. We're supernatural. When we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we became a supernatural being. And when we can really get a hold of that, that the spirit man that is in us is greater than the natural man we walk around in. You know, I used to think that scripture, that a greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. That meant greater is Jesus Christ in me than the devil that's in the world. But now, today, God is showing me that I am a spirit man. He caused me to be a spirit man. And that spirit man that is in me is greater than the flesh one I'm walking around the world in. Our spirit man is mighty in Christ Jesus. And when we learn that, we'll walk differently, we'll talk differently, we'll act differently, we'll pray differently, we'll feel differently. Because we're not just a bag of bones walking around in this world. Greater is our spirit man than the flesh man that we're walking around in. Supernatural. And the supernatural supersedes the natural. The spirit supersedes. The spiritual laws supersede. That's why Peter was able to walk on the water. The spiritual supersedes the natural. Okay. The words of our mouth are very important. James chapter 3 says about the tongue that it's, well, let's just read it. Never like to just, because there's always more there than I can remember to quote. James chapter 3, verse 5. Behold, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Remember the fire on the stove? Just started out as a little grease fire, and then it caught a wall on fire, and then eventually it'll burn down your kitchen and your whole house. It doesn't take much for fire to burn. It's consuming. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, which is set on fire by hell. Nature. But the words that we speak, they set into motion. I see it like, remember the cartoons when the Road Runner, he always had this little thing going with that coyote, and they would always, you know, he always had these sticks of dynamite, and he would set it on fire, and it's... Well, that's how I see it. When you release a word out of your mouth, it's like setting that fuse afire. And the thing that the stick of dynamite is whatever you said with your mouth. It will explode. It comes to pass. God created everything that we see with his mouth. He said and it was. He said and it was. And we are made in his likeness and after, in his image and after his likeness. Doesn't it stand to reason that our words have creative power? So that when we speak, we'll see it. So we have to be very careful what we say with our mouth. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 30. Well, let's go up to 27. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shuts his eyes to devise perverse things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Moving his lips. You know, that's what a curse is. You just move your lips. You release it. And whatever you say is going to determine good or evil. Good or evil. Look at Psalm 91:3. You know, the angels, that's another thing that we fail to really utilize, are the angels. Hebrews 1:14 says that the angels are given to minister for those who shall receive salvation. Not only to, there are ministering angels who will minister to, but it says in Hebrews 1:14 that they will minister for, and that word minister means like a servant. And we don't employ the angels, but let me tell you, when you open your mouth, you are either employing the angels of God or the demons. Psalm 91, y'all are probably already there. This is a good one. You know, it is a fight. God gave the Israelites the land, but they had to go in and possess it. Now, we have all of these things that I'm telling you, but we have to fight the fight to get it. It's not just automatic. Just because you accepted Jesus as your Savior does not mean that everything that is there automatically comes to you. You have to know it. It's his inheritance to us. This word is his inheritance to us. I love what it says in Hebrews chapter 1, I think it's verse 3, that he upholds all things not by the power of his word. It says the word of his power. This word is the power of God. And when we speak the word, we are releasing the power of God into whatever area that we use it in. Psalm 91, verse 3, speaking of the Lord, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I did a word study on noisome pestilence. The word noisome means ill-smelling, and the word pestilence means any infectious, contagious disease or virus. That about covers it all. But it's for he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. Make your dwelling place in the Lord. And then, if you feel a sickness coming on yourself, you can do just what Jesus did. It is written that I am delivered from the snare of the fowler and from any ill-smelling, infectious, contagious disease or virus. And you can speak death to that bacteria or that viral infection or whatever it is in your body that doesn't belong there. Just like Jesus spoke death to the fig tree, it didn't die immediately, but it gradually subsided so that when they came back, it was dead. So whatever you have in your body, you can speak death to that thing, abnormal cells, infections. Regardless of what it is, I speak death to this tumor, this cyst, whatever, a growth, skin cancer, whatever. I speak death in the name of Jesus. I apply the shed and resurrected blood of Jesus Christ, and I command you to leave my body in Jesus' name. It is written that he has abolished death. I bind the spirit of death at work in my body in Jesus' name. I speak a reversal, a rejuvenation, a quickening, life, the life force. It's powerful. Okay, look at Proverbs 18:20. Proverbs 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. See, you're gonna eat your words. Whatever you say, you're gonna have it. It's gonna fill your belly. So watch your mouth. 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's pretty black and white, isn't it? Death and life. So we can either speak death or we can speak life. Don't allow people to speak death over you. And you speak life over others. Okay, look at 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. See, sorrow will work death in your life. Proverbs 15:10. I'll just read it. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. He that hateth reproof shall die. If you hate correction, you're going to subside gradually, like on a greased sliding board. And if you hate reproof, it is a fast, gradual descent to death. Rebellion aids death. Sorrow works with death. Worry and fear work with death. Our bodies were created to live in peace and in harmony. And when you get out of peace, when you lose that harmony, things begin to go wrong in your body. You know, people who are diagnosed with bipolar. I've known people, they were diagnosed with bipolar. Well, you didn't have bipolar last year. What happened? Well, I have a chemical imbalance in my brain. It wasn't out of balance last year. What happened that caused the chemicals in your brain to get out of balance? A chemical imbalance is caused by something else that's eaten at you, or fear that rose up in you, or something caused your brain is all locked up in your head. Who's going to mess with your chemicals there? I mean, it's something that has happened. It doesn't just happen. There's something that caused the chemicals to get out of balance. So when we get out of harmony and peace, and we move into fear and worry and stress, then the result is dis-ease. Disease. That's where the word disease came from. Dis-ease. The definition of disease is an alteration of the normal state that impairs the performance of the vital functions. It means illness. So we're going to deal with the spirit of death. The spirit of death that came through Adam onto every one of us. That was present the day we were conceived. Death started. In a gradual descent, a gradual subsiding. Okay, so first of all, I mean, when this hit me, I realized that I was 23 when I was saved. And so death, even without the presence of Jesus, death was at work from the time I was conceived to the time I was saved. Well, I was saved many years before this became real to me, became knowledge that I needed to apply to my life. So I had to repent for all the years that I lived and did not acknowledge God for my life. And Lord, forgive me for all those times I greased up with baby oil and laid in the sun. I bind the spirit of death at work in my skin, that from the sun, from abuse. Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive me for every day that I breathed and didn't thank you for the breath of life that you've given me. You know, for all the years that I put you know, harmful things in my body, whatever it was. You know what you've done. I know what I did. I know what I had to repent of. You know what you have to repent of. so that we can take accountability and stop this spirit of death that's working in us and receive the life. Okay, so let's all pray. Don't you just bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, from the time I was born to this day, death has been working in me unhindered. Today, I confess that I have even cooperated with the spirit of death by agreeing with the world that everything they say has to happen to me at a certain time. Forgive me for agreeing with doctors, agreeing with negative words spoken to me by well-meaning friends and family. Even words that have come out of my own mouth, cursing myself or cursing others with death, with sickness, with disease, with afflictions, with infirmities, and with fear. Lord, forgive me. I repent today. I want to speak the words of life. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me wash the words of my mouth from this day forward. Help me to speak words of life and edification. I come into agreement today with your word, and I now break and renounce every word spoken curse that has come out of my mouth. Okay, now I'm going to just take authority over the spirit of death. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of death. Death, you have been abolished by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is written that he tasted death for every one of us. I come against the curses of generationally inherited infirmities that have been working in our bodies that have not been dealt with. I bind them and break all inherited infirmities in Jesus' name. Now, you know in your family line what those generationally inherited curses are. So just name them out. We break them. Every generationally inherited curse, the spirit of infirmities, the spirit of death, all diseases of the eyes that came from the spirit of death, of cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration. If you have a condition in your eye, name it right now. I come against floaters. I come against strokes in the eyes. All blindness. I bind you and break you in Jesus' name. All nearsightedness, farsightedness, presbyopia, lazy eye. In Jesus' name, all diseases of the eye, right now I bind you, rebuke you, and render you powerless. I bind the spirit of death in our eyes in Jesus' name. And I speak a quickening to our eyes in the name of Jesus, a restoration, a reversal of that gradually subsiding spirit of death that's been working in our eyes. I come against all diseases of the ears. All diseases of the ears right now. I bind the deaf and dumb spirit that is the ruler over all conditions of the ears in Jesus' name. That tinnitus, the ringing in the ears, all deafness, inner ear problems, problems with balance, not being able to hear the voice of God. Lord, I speak to their spiritual ears to be opened in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ears be healed. Fluid in the ears. Earaches. All earaches in Jesus' name. All diseases of the ears go in Jesus' name. I come against all digestive diseases. Digestive diseases. Acid reflux. GERD. Ulcers. I speak to constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, hemorrhoids, whatever your condition is, name it out right now. Right now. Bind it and render it powerless. Rebuke it. Command it to leave your body. We apply the shed blood of Jesus from our lips all the way to our bottoms, Lord. Every plumbing, our stomachs, the acid in our stomachs. I speak a balance to all of our stomachs right now in Jesus' name. I come against all fear spirits. Fear spirits. Fear of death. Fear of getting old. Fear of dying. Fear of suffering. Fear of cancer. Fear of the future. Fear of the unknown. Fear of dying. All spirits of fear go in Jesus' name. I bind you and I command you to go. Leave us now. The spirit of death over all fear spirits. Go in Jesus' name. I come against all tumors, cysts, muscular problems, neurological problems, circulatory problems, and blood problems right now. I bind and break the spirit of death over all blood problems, all circulation, all heart disease. Go in Jesus' name. Hearts be healed. Be healed. Eyes be healed in Jesus' name. Ears be healed in Jesus' name. Digestive systems be healed in Jesus' name. I come against all diseases of the mind, all mental problems, all Alzheimer's. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, the gradual diminishing of the mind. Go in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of death at work in your mind in Jesus' name. All headaches, migraines, all aneurysms, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to go. Minds be healed in Jesus' name. All mental illness, insanity, I bind you and rebuke you. I command you to leave God's people. All insanity in Jesus' name. Bipolar, oppression, depression, go in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit of death that wants to lead us and guide us into suicide in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of suicide and death wishes in Jesus' name. I activate right now the mind of Christ. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Word says, ye have the mind of Christ. And He does not have mental problems. He is not depressed, oppressed. I activate right now the mind of Christ in everyone here. I activate the mind of Christ. I come against all diseases of the organs, all diseases of the organs. I bind and break the spirit of death that works in the brain, in the heart, the liver, the kidneys, the lungs, the skin, the eyes, the ears, the stomach, the uterus, the ovaries, prostate, testicular cancers, cancers of the male organs, intestines, colon, pancreas, gallbladder, and hernias in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of death at work in our organs in Jesus' name, and I speak life to our organs right now. I speak life and regeneration. I speak a quickening right now, a reversal of damage. If you have had a disease causing damage in your organs, I speak a reversal to them right now in Jesus' name. Be restored. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood and taking all our sickness and disease. You did not leave anybody almost done, Lord. You did it all. We just receive wholeness right now. We receive healing right now. I come against all diseases in the bones, all arthritis. I rebuke you. I bind the spirit of death in our bones through arthritis, defects of the spine, disc problems, osteoporosis, cancer of the bones. Feet problems, all corns and bunions go in the name of Jesus. All ingrown toenails, problems with your toes, your heels, your arches with spurs, feet problems, knee problems, ankle problems, hip and neck problems, ball and joint problems, scoliosis, all diseases of the spine and the marrow of the bones. I speak a quickening right now to our bones in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have taken every sickness and disease. I say bones be healed, bodies be healed in Jesus' name. Now, according to Psalm 91, it is written that that we have been delivered from every noisome pestilence. Now, I speak right now to any ill-smelling, infectious, contagious disease or virus. Go in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. all viruses. I bind the spirit of death that works in viruses, bacteria, and funguses. I come against diseases of the mouth. I bind the spirit of death at work in our mouths that cause gum diseases, rotting teeth, cavities, loss of teeth, cancers of the mouth, the throat, the esophagus, the vocal cords, the throat. Lord, we just thank you that the spirit of death has been abolished, and I speak life into our bodies right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life, for shedding your blood, and for healing us. Lord, you are our healer. We thank you for healing right now. Bodies be made whole in the name of Jesus. Lord, every creative miracle that needs to be done in a person's body, Lord, you can replace things that are missing. We thank you that you can restore things to wholeness. You can replace those things that are missing, and you can take out those things that aren't supposed to be there. I speak blessings of healing, blessings of life, blessings of wholeness and soundness. I speak peace in the name of Jesus, strength and restoration, vitality in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have dealt with the spirit of death. Lord, we receive life right now. We thank you for the word in Romans 8:2 that says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I release the spirit of life in Christ Jesus into every one of us that has made us free from the law of sin and the law of death. And again in Galatians 3:13, it is written that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. Now receive life right now. Receive the spirit of life. Receive the spirit of life. Say, I now receive your spirit of life. I now receive the spirit of the life in Christ Jesus. I receive your spirit, the spirit of the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for your spirit of life. Thank you for abolishing death for us. Thank you for eternal life, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, I command every familiar spirit of death to leave you now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of infirmity, all familiar spirits of infirmity, go. All the familiar spirits of sickness and disease, weakness, fatigue, stupor, laziness, all familiar spirits of death, infirmity, and dying, go in Jesus' name. And I say, live in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's 9:05. Don't forget 6 o'clock prayer meeting in the morning. And if anybody would like anointing in prayer, if something specific, I'd be glad to pray for you. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.